Now for our weekly segment, Between the Cracks, with Apa Umi Abdullah joining us on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mufti Yusuf, and our listeners.
Jazakumullah khair for joining us once again. This morning we pick up on the issue of slavery. Tell us more, Apa.
So today is the 20th of June, which happens to be World Refugee Day, but I'm going to skip the talk of refugees and go on to another a bit of news that passed us this week, was Juneteenth. It's like a little made up of the word the 19th and June, Juneteenth. It's an Independence Day, it's a Freedom Day, and commemorates the 19th of June in 1865. And what happened that many years ago was the announcement of the abolition of slavery in the Confederate South. So it's commemorated, it's regarded as a state holiday, a special day of observance in over 45 states. And what exactly had happened is we know that there was a civil war within America. And 2.5 years after President Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation that slavery has now ended, it only actually was enforced in the South. So June 19th or Juneteenth is in honor of the official emancipation of slaves in the United States. And then I consider, and you know, you look at our history in South Africa and you say we're just 20-odd years ago from apartheid, and you look at African-Americans. African-Americans have only been free for approximately 152 years, which means that most Americans are only two or three generations away from slavery. And the thing is that slaveholding families have built their legacies on slavery, they generated wealth, and African-Americans haven't had access because enslaved labor was enforced. So just as much as we have our history, all continents have their history. I'm sure more people are qualified to talk about what went on with regard to slavery. Looking at some of the images that emerged from the United States, you know, there was joy and celebrations, almost like when people are having a public holiday on the 27th of April and sometimes forget the blood and the soil and the tears and all of the difficulties that happened during the time that people were not regarded as equal. Okay, one of the things that is often misconstrued and misunderstood is that it was Islam and it was the Arab slave trade that Islamized Africa, and perhaps this is something that we need to, all of us need to have embedded into our heads, that there was no logic in making new Muslims into slaves, because Islam was a faith that would only lead to their freedom. Because if they accepted Islam, it meant that a slave would now be would have his right to self-determination. A famous hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahih al-Bukhari, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you free a slave, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will free all the parts of your body from hellfire, just as you freed the body parts of the slave from slavery. So it makes no sense in any way for a Muslim to say that it was the Arab slave trade that Islamized Africa. In other words, it was the Islam that enhanced, that came in via trade relations, etc. And even Patrick Manick, a long-term critic of Islam, has written that we use the terms interchangeably, the Oriental and the Arab slave trade, sometimes called the Islamic slave trade. But Islamic trade, Islamic world, it's an error, because it treats Africa as being outside of Islam or a negligible portion of the Islamic world, and that wasn't the case. If we have to be really honest, even if we're thinking about our refugees and we're thinking about the actual condition of slavery, I don't know who wrote these words, but I find them very beautiful, that Islam entered Africa, which is Ethiopia, we know, with Najashi and the Sahaba coming to take refuge there, before it reached the Indus River of India, before it reached the poppy fields of Afghanistan, before it reached into Iraq or Persia. And Islam reached Africa before it even reached the city of Madinatul Munawwara. So that's something that's for us to consider.
Yes, certainly. I think it's a very interesting point that you make, that many of these days that have great significance are celebrated and people do not reflect on what the meaning behind this day. Similarly, like our June the 16th in South Africa, for many they just take it as another public holiday, yet there's important lessons that we can draw from that in terms of the youth and the contribution that the youth have to make. For the Islamic segment, a part of Between the Cracks, we look at the dua of Prophet Abraham.
Yeah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam made a lot of du'as. We can just off the top of our heads count about 20 du'as in the Quran Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam made. And du'a is something fascinating, especially in this holy month. If you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that du'a is the essence of worship, or du'a is actual worship, and look at the types of du'as that the prophets made, often in their weak moments, it gives us insight into the humans that they were and the kind of relationship we have with Almighty Allah. And one that I find particularly fascinating was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam praying to Allah for, and this is in Surah Shu'ara, verse 84, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. So as part of his du'as and as part of his prayers, he says, Allah, let it be such that in later generations when I'm mentioned in a very honorable way. So he's actually praying to Almighty Allah and saying that, when I pass away, let me be remembered in a good manner after my death, so I'll be spoken of and I'll be taken off as a good example. And that makes us, you know, gives us a little more insight into Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then with that yaqeen, he made the dua, and then Almighty Allah answered his dua in such a way that if you look at the major religions of the world, whether it's Christianity, Islam, with Judaism, we all have a claim to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and not a single one of us will ever speak ill of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So that in itself is something for us to perhaps ponder on and have the conviction that our du'as, even for the future, will be accepted, inshallah.
Yes, certainly an important lesson. Also the legacy that you leave behind, that is something that we should be concerned about, and the legacy that Ibrahim alayhi salam had left. Apa jazakumullah khair for the interesting insight.
You're most welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Apa Abdullah joining us for the weekly segment Between the Cracks, focusing on slavery and Islamic myths, as well as the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam.